The last section on excellence in leadership is about inspiring with a winning mindset. You know, you are the role model for your business. Because you're in a position of leadership, you have an inferred credibility and a tremendous inferred power throughout your organization. The people that you surround yourself with will follow your lead and copy what you do. They will match your energy. If you want them to treat people with respect and courtesy and kindness, then you need to treat people with respect and courtesy and kindness. If you want them to be firm and decisive in their decision-making, then you need to be firm and decisive. If you want them to act with great strength and confidence, then you need to act with great strength and confidence. You just can't delegate a winning mindset. You can delegate a lot of things about business, but you can't delegate the winning mindset. If you want your company to have a winner's attitude, you want your company to get along well, you want your company to be a high-performing team, then you have to set the example. You are the role model for your business. It's not just your responsibility, it's your duty. And when it comes to a winning mindset, you either have it or you don't. And if you don't, you have to develop it. You can't buy a winning mindset. The closest thing you can come to buying a winning mindset is to surround yourself with successful people who have it so that they can teach you by osmosis what it's like to have one. And then sometimes you can also attend motivational and inspirational seminars that talk to you about the importance of perspective and mindset so that you can develop that a little more rapidly. But when it comes to having a winning mindset, as the leader of your company, that is your responsibility. What is a winning mindset? A winning mindset is about two things. It's about perspective and attitude. And there are a lot of different perspectives when it comes to doing the work that needs to be done at a business. Some of those perspectives are the reluctant worker, which is the person who just shows up and tries to do as little as possible to avoid getting fired. The technician, who takes great pride in workmanship and is very focused on having a strong career. The owner-operator, who is both a manager of the business and somebody who is doing the technical work of the business. The pure manager, who doesn't do any of the work themselves, but rather achieves greatness through the efforts of others. The entrepreneur, who owns the business, and the tycoon. So let me show you a little bit of an example of how this works. In the music industry, you may have some reluctant workers. Those are the guys who just show up to do the work, who just try to do as little as possible to get their pay. You don't really want a lot of those people around because they detract from the productivity of everybody else. You may also have the technicians, and the ultimate technician is the soloist in an opera or the first chair violin in an orchestra. That's somebody that takes incredible pride in their workmanship and their talent and their craft. An owner-operator might be somebody that both sings and directs the band. We used to see that a lot with stage bands and swing bands, where they would have somebody who played the trumpet but also directed the rest of the band. The manager is like the conductor of an orchestra. Doesn't play an instrument, but controls and directs the efforts of everybody that's on stage. The entrepreneur is somebody who owns the orchestra, doesn't play any instruments, doesn't conduct the orchestra, but owns the orchestra. And the tycoon? Well, that's the person who wants to own all of the orchestras. You need to have, to be successful in business, at least an owner-operator perspective. At least somebody that is not only doing the work, working in the business, but working on the business as well. So make sure that you have either the owner-operator mindset or the manager mindset or the entrepreneur's mindset when it comes to starting and growing your business. And after you've started and grown several businesses, well, then you can think about being a tycoon. That business perspective is just half of having a winning mindset. The other half is having a great attitude. It's about being eager, excited, energized, and enthusiastic. It's about having a can-do, will-do attitude. It's about being flexible and coachable and eager to learn. It's about managing stress well and having great relationship skills. I want you to think for a second about the best and the worst leaders that you have ever experienced. And I want to tell you about two of them in my life. The first one was one of my very first bosses, a gentleman by the name of Noel Smith. When I started programming computers in 1970, Noel was my boss in the computer center. And he was just a great guy. He bought me Cokes. He bought me candy. He told me what a great job I was doing. You know, anything that I wanted to make my life better that didn't cost more than 25 cents or 50 cents back in those days, he was happy to go get that for me. That was his style of leadership, to be an encourager and to be a cheerleader and to really help me do the job that I could do for him. He couldn't program any computers, but he knew the value of having a good programmer who worked for him. He was a great guy to work with, and I really do miss him. On the other hand, later on in my career, I worked for a guy that I'll call Joe, although that's really not his real name. Joe was the exact opposite of Noel. I worked for Joe for several years, and after I had worked for him for a year and a half, he called me in the office one day, and he said, "Well, I guess we got to do a performance review. That's what the people in human resources are telling me, that we got to do a performance review. So, well, I guess you ain't been doing too bad of a job. You got anything to say?" Wow, what a terrible guy he was to work with. He just had no sense of relationship skills, no sense of leading by being a good role model. He didn't have a winning mindset. He was a grumpy, grouchy person who complained and was bitter all the time. And I guarantee you, I did not enjoy my time working with him for those several years. So I want you to think about the good leaders and the bad leaders that you've experienced in your life. Think about what it means to be a great leader, and then do everything that you can to be like that person that you admire the most. Remember the way that they treated you. Remember the way that they made you feel. And then go out to help make sure that everybody else in your organization feels the way that you want them to feel about their job. Being a great leader takes great flexibility and coachability. It takes great resourcefulness, tenacity, determination, and passion. And here's a great tip for you. Personal growth is essential for your professional growth. Working on ourselves, having ways to talk about things that bug us, having ways to process through our stress is critical. I've been a member of a men's group now for several years, and I wish that I had been a member of one for 30 or 40 years, because the advice and counsel that I get in that is just precious. And I've really come to understand that personal growth facilitates and enables professional growth. And professional growth is critical to your success in business. Let me say that again. Personal growth facilitates professional growth. Professional growth is critical to success in your business. What you need to do today in your business is not the same thing that you need to do 3 or 4 years from now, or even 6 months from now in your business. You need to consistently be learning new skill sets. You need to be training, much like listening to this program. You're learning things. You're investing time and money in professional growth, and that's critical to your success. One of the things that happens when you are focused on professional growth is that you run into challenges. And those challenges can be challenges of the head, challenges of the heart, or challenges of the hands. Challenges of the head are when you don't know what to do or how to do it. And those are easily resolved. Those are cognitive challenges, and you can go get the right experience on your team to help you figure out what to do and help you figure out how to do it. Challenges of the hands are challenges of not having the resources to do what it is that you need to do. You can address challenges of the hands by getting more people on your team and getting additional resources. But challenges of the heart are the most difficult ones. It's the fear that stops most people. It takes courage to face your mistakes, and you will make a lot of them. And it takes courage to learn. And it takes courage to do that which scares you. Focusing time on the inner journey of business is critical to your personal growth, critical to overcoming the challenges of professional growth so that you can get the results that you want for your business. You have greatness within you. You really do. But to let it out, you have to grow. And to be successful in business, you have to have a great attitude, a great perspective, and a winning mindset to inspire everybody on your team.